In Isaiah chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, it's declared, "Hear me, you heavens, listen, earth, for the Lord has spoken. I reared children and brought them up, but they have rebelled against me. The ox knows its master, the donkey its owner's manger, but Israel does not know. My people do not understand." Lori Jo already spilled the beans on this one, but yesterday I spent the day with my family and with the Marlia Larsons, with Brian and Lori Jo, and Cielo and Mia Jo. Spent the day with them going out to find a Christmas tree. We came down here to the church for a short while. We were lending a hand, not much of a hand, but we were lending a little bit of a hand in the decorations here. But we did have these other plans to go out and find a tree. My question is, have you ever spent a whole day with three wonderful girls who were cold, tired, and hungry for the majority of the day? If you haven't shared in that experience, yeah, we got some nodding heads back there, nodding heads in other rows. Have you done that when you're cold, tired, and hungry? I had some weird dreams last night. I don't know if it was just the day itself, but it was an interesting time. But the day was a success, thanks to Brian and Lori Jo. We ventured out, and I believe it's the Willow Lake turnoff. Is that where we went? So we went up that road. We were right by your house, yeah. Yeah. So we went up there, didn't say hi, but we were there. Yeah. We were down there off of Highway 140. It was a snow-packed road. We were finding our tree, and it looks wonderful in our house. We have a true evergreen in our house for the first time, not one from a farm, and it looks awesome. It was a lot of fun. We hiked around the woods and came upon our tree close to where we parked after hiking for about 200 yards in a big circle. Always happens that way. But we had some snowball fights. Cielo learned what a rub down is, because he hit me in the head with a big snowball. So I don't know if you saw that. You were off. Yeah, you didn't get to see that. So if you've never had a rub down, it's when someone lifts your shirt up, takes a pack of snow, and just rubs it on your bare skin. Yeah. Yeah. So that happened to me when I was fifth, sixth grade, and I figured it was time for, if you haven't done that to him, he needs someone to do it. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. So it was fun. The girls were complaining about the snow, the wet. At one point, Gabby didn't have snow boots. We tried to make do with what we had, but the snow kept getting into her boots that she did have on. So I took my sweatpants that I had worn before, and I put that over the top and tied off the bottom so she was walking on the legs of my sweatpants. And it worked. They had a good time. I think we both found our trees, and the trip was a success. The little bit of sap, I've still got it on my hands. It was a lot of fun, and we're ready to have a fun Christmas. See, I share this story because we were out in the wilderness yesterday. We were out there with God's creation, and we're doing something that honors God's glory and praises His goodness. And someone at the end of the day in our family said, "Christmas is all about the tree." I quote this, "Christmas is all about the tree." Now, it's my job to be critical on spiritual matters and to judge our readiness to spread God's word and design plans to help us draw close to God. That's my job, right? You see, God declared to Israel through Isaiah, who had the same responsibility on a larger scale. I look at it's all about the tree, and I think there might be another reason that we have Christmas. I think the tree is a good symbol, and it's a great symbol of the everlasting life that we share because of that gift. And that's why it's an evergreen, something that goes back to Germany. But there is this prophet, Isaiah, who had some type of responsibility for morality and spirituality. And here we see it, and it says, I reared children, as God declares, and brought them up, but they have rebelled against me. We somehow find it in our hearts to see matters that are important, matters that don't center on the vitally important. Somehow we gaze upon the road ahead of us and get mixed up in life and forget to set our gaze on the Creator who rears us to do good things in this world and reconcile people to God. At the end of the day, Charity and I were talking about babies because we saw one at Brian's parents' house in Eagle Point. This led us to a discussion about Ryan, our son, and we talked about seeing him again, and I felt like we connected on what is important. Charity and I did. According to God's desire for us in that discussion. We were mad at God for a long time because we were wronged by a cosmic power who didn't care. But last night we spoke honestly and faithfully about a God who has our interest at heart and loves us enough to realize our needs and wants more for us. God can take a day of cold, tired, and hungry and make a lifetime of memories and a reason to have hope, joy, love, and peace. It's funny that in the passage I read, God describes the metaphor of an ox and a donkey as faithful followers, yet His own children are squandering their time with Him. It's funny because we're compared with livestock, and we end up on the short end of the stick. It's funny because oxen are big and powerful, and donkeys, they're stubborn and slow. We still share some similarities in character and attitude, don't we? So let's look around and try and point out who the oxen are in here and the donkeys. I'm just kidding. Cindy, don't do it too quickly. No, we do feel sheepish at times. We feel that way when we look at our spiritual lives. And we don't feel any better than those who are outside the church. How do we fix this? How do we fix this and look to God for the things that matter most? Well, if you skip on in Isaiah, you get down to the meat of the matter, you go to chapter 42. And in the first verse it says, here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit in him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his teaching, the islands will put their hope. I could just read that passage over and over again. Such beauty in what is declared there. Not a passage that was necessarily written as a prophecy for Jesus himself, but we see that this is a prophecy that does lead to the Son of Man coming. I mean, you have to understand the historical side of this, that Isaiah is looking at a people who are squandering their time with God. And God is now saying that there is a Savior coming. And how many times does the Savior come to the people of Israel until finally God has to come down himself and say, you know what, this is what I kept sending you, but now maybe you'll understand. If we want to focus our lives on the most important matters, we need to revisit what matters most. God took people who were wandering away and gave them a shepherd, a servant, someone who will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. We are to look to his teaching because even when we feel like we're an island, he reaches out to us and he gives us hope. I have a comic strip in my classroom that I hung up by the door. I thought it was brilliant. It's one of those that's just a one snapshot there with a little caption. And I'll try to describe it to you. It's a man on a deserted island, how they typically draw that in cartoons. A little tiny island with a guy there and a little palm tree. He's opened a package that was shipped to him. It's a little box, the crate that's opened up. And he's on his cell phone with the shipping company, and he says in the caption, "You got it wrong. I ordered one can opener and 500 cans of tuna." Okay, so I had to explain that to my students as well. So he's looking for just one can opener. He got one can of tuna and 500 can openers, yeah. Don't we feel like that? Don't we feel like that is the help we get sometimes? When we don't try to focus on the important matters? Like maybe get on the ship and go back home. How many times has God given us a lifeline, yet we continue to be upset about how we are helped in this life? We all know this story, but I'd have to tell it again, about the man that was drowning in the ocean. And he asked God for help. He cries out to them. So the boat comes, and the man turns it down and tells them that, no, God is coming because he has faith. And then a helicopter comes, and he turns that down. And then a life raft comes, and he turns that down, only to drown a little while later. While the man was in heaven meeting with God, he asked, "I had faith you would save me, yet you never came. Why not?" God replied to the man, "What do you mean? I sent you a boat, a helicopter, and a life raft." It's those important things. What are we focused on? Yeah, you can laugh. It's funny. What are we focused on? We don't seem to know what is important at times. Jesus will not break a bruised reed, and he doesn't snuff out a smoldering wick. His justice is brought forth because of his faithfulness. Why doesn't this comfort us to know that our rest is in the hands of the Son of Man? We go through our lives with so many stressful days, but we really need to fix our eyes on Jesus to see a Savior who loves us. There's a story about a man who comes into his office, about a man who has a man come into his office. And he tells this story that this man is a slight fellow and had a little trouble pushing in our heavy front door. But other than that, he seemed pretty chipper. Mr. Smith, and in the story the man writes, that's the guy's actual name, Mr. Smith, was cheerful and businesslike and extremely likable. Says that we chatted for a few minutes, and he mentioned that people had been telling him to retire for a long time, but he thought the Lord would tell him when it was his time. "I learned that he is already retired," says this guy, "from a factory position, but buys and renovates little houses." The fact that he had already retired from a factory was not surprising because he looked to be around 70 years old, but when I asked his age, he told me he was 89. This old gentleman mentioned to me that he had suffered from a heart attack, followed by surgery, and then by a stroke only last year. And on the day his heart became more painful than he could endure, he drove himself to the hospital. Apparently at the hospital, he mentioned that he had his car in the parking lot and would be going home when they were all done with him. The nurses told him they wanted to talk it over with the doctor first. By the time he went to surgery, his heart was in such bad shape that he remembers little of the next couple of weeks. But he says that his heart was so bad, it wasn't really even a heart anymore. He says that during his surgery, every artery was either replaced or stented, and that his heart was repaired with numerous patches. After the fact, his doctor told him that he had died on the table, and that he and the other doctor in the operating room had tried everything to bring him back. When the heart surgeon gave up, he pulled the sheet over the old man's head and went out to tell the nurses. But when he came back into the room, Mr. Smith had grasped the sheet in a fist and pulled it off his face. The old man chuckled as he told me that the doctor told him, he had said, "Don't ever do that to me again." But he says the doctor is a character and he thought that was just a tall tale. However, the fact remains that the Lord spared this old fellow for some reason, which of course is known only to God. But if he always cheers people up and gives them faith and hope, as he did for me today, this man writes, that maybe the purpose, that may be the purpose the Lord had in mind. To me, Mr. Smith was the blessing of the day. When I told him he made my day brighter, he replied, "Everyone needs some up." He says he's had a good life because there were always such good people around him throughout his lifetime. He particularly mentioned his mother and his wife, saying he couldn't say which one was the best woman. To someone like me, who fully understands how important the people in your life are to your happiness, I was impressed when he articulated the sentiment. In fact, I'd like to say that all in all, I'm very grateful to God for sending Mr. Smith to the office today. He was carrying a dose of good cheer that I really needed. Let's think for a moment. What if Isaiah was writing a declaration from God in Isaiah 42 about you? These are attributes about Jesus, about a Savior. They're attributes that you can take on yourself. Let's face it, you become like those you admire and you set your eyes on this one. You can be like Jesus and become a Mr. Smith, bringing joy to those around you and connecting islands with the important one. God is waiting to show you how. The person in my house who said that Christmas is all about the tree got me to thinking about what we like to say, that Jesus is the reason for this season. I'm going to show you how that doesn't make sense. I've done a lot of thinking on this. This season is a season. It's a just climate season. The church has kind of hijacked the season to say that in the darkness, in the cold, in that time, God remembers us and sends us something that brings us hope, peace, love, and joy. That's why the Catholic Church decided that winter solstice would be that time. It was a pagan time, of celebration, to celebrate the gods. And this goes back in our history of the world, that this time has always been a season of gifts and giving and things like that. And the church was smart and said, you know what? The best gift, the best that we can have is this one gift. That everything we do should revolve around that. So Jesus isn't the reason the season happened, but it's the reason that we can declare our love for each other and for God. We don't know what day Jesus was born. I mean, there's a lot of theories and different things that historically you can look at. But I think the important part is that we celebrate it on the day that we celebrate it. That we come to a hard time, that winter time, and we can still recognize that God loves us even more now than He does the rest of the year. Some of us, that gives us hope. And as we look at that, we understand that what it means to be an island. Islands are not connected to other parts of land, just like that guy on the deserted island. Sometimes we feel disconnected from others in this world. Sometimes we feel disconnected with just the world itself. We feel alone. We feel lost. We feel like there's no help for us. All people feel this way at times. But Jesus was sent as a Savior to give us that hope, to connect us, to reconcile us. And as we take on those attributes that have been described here, then we can connect others as well. That's our job as we leave here today. Think of one person right now that you could connect. It might be the person sitting next to you. It might be someone who you haven't talked to in years. But there are many islands out there who God knows about. And He's been sending them stuff all along, and they just haven't been ready for it. God is wanting to show you how to be this person to other people. If you're not sure what it looks like to be that to someone else, there's plenty in our scripture to show you. That if at the very least you're not sure, if you were to pick up the Gospel of Mark, Matthew, Luke, John, and just start reading about who this Savior is, there's a lot of good stories in there. A lot of hard times. A great ministry of not just one person, but many people who tried, some disciples who failed, tried again, failed again, tried again. But maybe you're closer than you think to some of these people. There is a Mr. Smith who is that person who's there to lift us up. And sometimes that's all it takes, is just that little something. I have many stories right now just kind of going through my mind as I go through just even one day in a classroom. About 150 kids come through my door. Sometimes it's like 200, because some of these kids have found out that there's a smile. Waiting for them on the other side of the door. And I know too much about families that aren't there for these kids. And you see the looks on their eyes when I talk about my family. And they long for that. And if you think that there is no island around here for you to impact, to help reconcile, then you're wrong. There are many people out there who are just waiting for someone to accept them and love them for who they are. Are you going to be willing to let God show you how to take on those attributes? Let's pray. Father God, we know that you accept us and love us for who we are. You created us. God, I think it's this way that there's so many people are turned away by other people. That they think that we have to be perfect to come to a perfect being. God, help us to show other people those islands that are out there. Help us to show them acceptance and love, regardless of past, regardless of a history, regardless of what someone has done. Help us to show that, even if it's just in a smile. Even if it's just in a moment of speaking with that person and caring about them. God, I feel like that all leads us to a type of life that doesn't look at ourselves first. And I think that's where you're heading us. You're leading us to a place where we can see other people as vitally important. And if it's that's most important, as we look at Christmas and that gift to us, your Son, if that's what it is, then God, help us to continue to look at those important matters. And we know that your Son is here in this world working with compassion, working through ministries and churches, through individual people, through so many different ways. Our prayer this morning is that we would be one of those ways. That we would focus on what matters most. And that we would show that we love you by loving others. And that we would see you in others. And that we would see you in us. And we thank you this morning. Help us as we go today. It's your Son's name we pray. Amen. Please stand with me as we close this morning. It's funny, John Tesh said on a radio show, I know John Tesh is a great person to quote, but he said on a radio show, I was listening to him on the way to the school one day, and he said that a smile is the largest form of acceptance. And so that's why I say a smile. That's why I pray a smile, that we would smile to others, because a lot of times we show a serious face, and other people don't know if we accept them as a person if we don't smile. And he said it's not just a smile where you pull your corners of your mouth back. When you show your teeth, studies have shown that if you show your teeth in a smile to someone, that raises their spirits almost tenfold. And they can see it from 100 feet away. Now, some of us are embarrassed by our teeth. But I'm sure that person might be embarrassed by their teeth as well. Show a smile today. Show it to someone on the street. Show it to someone who you think won't think that it's coming. And I can guarantee you that someone will feel some acceptance today. Let's close. Loving God, we thank you for hearing our prayers, feeding us with your word, and encouraging us in our meeting together. And in the power of your Spirit, and in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, amen. Go in peace.